You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, Bruce.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron along with Wayne Fritz.
Howdy, howdy. Well, it's good to be here today. Hey, I was going to say something before the show, and I said, wait a minute, let me just hold on to this and until the show, because it's really awesome. And it's just something this morning that I read from John Maxwell, and we were talking about mindset. You know, but it's just, I want to read this. This will start the day off, I think, really well. But believe while others are doubting. Plan while others are playing. Study while others are sleeping. Decide while others are delaying. Prepare while others are daydreaming. Begin while others are procrastinating. Work while others are wishing. Save while others are wasting. Listen while others are talking. Smile while others are frowning. Commend while others are criticizing. And persist while others are quitting. Boy, those are some pretty strong things. That you talk about mindset.
Yeah.
In other words, it's called focus.
Right.
It's called focus. You know, yes, I listened to a call today in our company, and the young man who happened to be my son was saying that whatever your goals are for this month, you wrote them down. Write them down again today, because we're checkpointing here. We're over halfway through the month. Write your goals down again, because whatever you write down is more apt to come true, you know, because you're more focused. It's all about focus.
Absolutely. Now, if you can see it, and also if you can see it, you write it down, that's one level. But if you can see it and visualize it, you can, and or it helps. And, man, I have to be doing that myself. You know, I tell you, I get caught in this rut. No, it's a good rut, though. It's a first world rut called I'm working. I've got clients. I sleep 8 hours a day, and then I rinse and repeat. First world problem, right? It's kind of strange, because that's kind of the problem that I wanted to get into in the beginning of this whole deal, and now I'm there. But I got to be careful not to, you know, do some growth activities myself. Pardon me.
Of course,
right before the show, but seriously, so I you know, kind of a never-ending cycle of something, but anyway.
Well, you know, on that focus and goals and writing down, you know, a goal should be achievable, but it should be something we have to reach for.
Yeah,
but should be achievable.
Yep.
And a goal can change midterm.
It can.
Yeah, and it's okay if a goal changes midterm. You're adjusting the sail or you're adjusting the rudder, but you're still going forward. So it's just good, like you said, to write stuff down. And when you know, there's an old saying, whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve.
That's right.
And that is true. You know, when you... Even that old story about his name was Roger Bannister, the English guy that science physiologically stated that it would be impossible for someone to run a mile in under 4 minutes. They said the heart would explode. It was just physically impossible. Man could not do it. And the weird thing about that is there was a guy named Roger Bannister. He didn't read that article.
Right.
And he beat the 4 minute mile. He was the first one to beat the 4 minute mile. And that's a standard now. I mean, you know, if you're a real strong runner, you don't do 4 minutes, you're not a strong runner. So, but there was a time that scientists said it was just physiologically impossible. You would explode.
That's right.
So whatever the mind can conceive and believe can be achieved.
I felt that way about the Trump election, but I hear you.
Oh, I needed that.
I didn't. But
well,
anyway.
No, I needed what you said.
I'm sorry.
That was awesome.
Man, I was like in denial. I was going through the stages of grief. I was like Elizabeth Kubler-Ross in one thing. And I was even starting to reach into the QAnon bucket trying to hang on to something. Okay, sorry. That's probably not a good
thing. You know what? But, you know, take that same saying, and someone did conceive and believe and did achieve.
Yeah.
It was just the wrong thing.
That's interesting. But also, funny enough, Wayne, what's your reaction when you don't get it?
Yes. Oh, boy. Yeah.
What's your reaction when you don't get it? Do you cry? Do you pout? Do you scream? Do you retool? You go back to the drawing board? Do you talk about it to other people? So, or, you know, it doesn't come on your time frame. You know, we know about the Book of Revelations, but we don't know when.
Yes.
When it come like a thief in the night, you know, and so anyway, so far I've been wrong. Oh, I'd never live to see that. I'd never live long enough to see that. And, you know, keep reading and like, holy smokes, you know, here we go. We could be alive long enough to see.
Somebody told me the other day, said, Wayne, we're living in the last days. I said, we all, that's how we want to live.
Yeah.
I said, that's good news if we are, because that's how we want to live. We want to live like we're in the last.
I was at a restaurant, and there was an open chair next to me, and somebody asked me if that chair was saved. I said, it wasn't even convicted yet.
That's what you could
have. There you go. That's a Wayne joke.
That's a Wayne thing there. Yeah. But you know, if it doesn't come in your own time to bring that forward, that's a good thought, because when we can plan and we can have goals and we can work and we can think we're doing everything correctly, and we could be doing everything correctly, and then we don't reach that goal when we think we should.
What
do we do? How does it? Well, it can affect us, but it's our choice on how it affects us. And really, if we believe it, we just, it's kind of like that old saying, we drop back 40 yards and polish up the brass, or we drop back and punt, but we still go forward. You know, there's so many things every day in our lives that we have little failures. Mm-hmm. And that's just a fact of life. There's going to be a fire, and we got to put a fireman's hat on. It's going to throw us off course. There's going to be a train wreck. So there's always stuff that comes up. But that's where it's important. If you're professional and you really do, you're dedicated to what you do, that you get with somebody, you get coached. I don't care, you by somebody in your field even. I mean, I'm not trying to sell my qualifications, but get some coaching somewhere. Because we can be thrown off course, and I don't care how good we are, we need some controlling.
Let me ask you this, because I'm several single digits, I'm thinking, years younger than you, so let's just make that clear. But I get caught in this trap about, not in a trap, I think I'm getting closer to whatever retirement age is. I don't see myself retiring. I look at you as an example that, you know, you're fully in retirement age-ish zone, I guess you might say. Hopefully that's politically correct. But yet, man, you're doing the work that you want to be doing, man. And I like that. So I just kind of, you know, did you kind of plan that, or you think that this is just the way it kind of happened, where you transitioned out of certain type of corporate stuff into the similar corporate stuff you're doing now? But how did you, you know, and then, and also what's next? I mean, are you going to keep this clip till the end, or you do see yourself paring down a little bit as you, in your 70s and whatnot, 80s, whatever.
That's interesting. I may, you know, it's the nice thing is, we want to be at my age. If anyone gets to my age, you want to be able financially to back off.
Right.
I mean, you should, you should have done some things along the way. But the nice, I always believed, even when I was younger, a guy told me, he said, Wayne, you want to have the options. You don't want someone else to have your options. You want to have them yourself. And so I've got options. I can either work or I don't have to work. I tried not working for a year, and it wasn't good.
Yeah.
So I just function better. We all want to be needed, and we all, people that retire, I mean, it's like in the dictionary, it should be retired, and right after that should be death. Because unless you have something to do when you're retired, so you might say, Bruce, I'm retired right now, but I'm doing what I like to do because
right.
I'm retired. So right. I don't have to go to the office.
Yeah, I retired from the Justice Department in 2013, but now I'm doing this. And
you could have stayed with the Justice Department.
Yes, sir. I could. Actually, I could have stayed there for 7 more years. They kick you out at 57 under that pension program, and they don't want anybody older than 57 carrying a gun or whatever, or at least pretending to, whatever reason.
Once you retire from that, with the qualifications, I mean, you could go back and get another position and retire again. You know, in the government, I know friends that have been police officers and they retire after 20 years and then they go back and they be a police officer again somewhere else and retire after another 20 years.
I got a guy that's a sheriff's deputy. I got another guy that does court security under a private contract called private security guards.
Yeah.
Another fellow is he's a constable down in South Texas.
Yeah.
Good Lord. I mean, he's right back in the battle almost, serving warrants and stuff like that down there in the Rio Grande Valley. Gee whiz. That's pretty thing. So you can certainly, you know, double dip as if that's what you want to do, you know, get back in there and into
a similar... double dip. That's what I was thinking.
Yes, well, double.
I think the main thing is you want to be able to not have to work. I mean, that's what we all want to work for. We want some kind of savings and, you know, something to fall back on, be secure. But for some of us, it's okay to sit at home and watch soap operas or something, whatever they're called today. But I like to do something. It makes me feel younger. So, and the neat thing of it is that I just got informed they want me next year. So, they're asking me to do some stuff and stay involved next year. So I'm good. I just love
you
it.
Live another day.
Yeah, that keeps me young. I look at people in my graduating class, and I said, "Wait a minute, shit! I don't know them. They're old." So,
yeah.
You know. So yeah, it's good to stay busy. Anyway, that's.
I can still be like a government worker. I'm now, thanks to my CPA 2 years ago, I'm an employee of my own S corporation that I own. So I get to complain about my boss.
Yeah.
That son of a gun.
It's
all the work while he's on it. That's my inner child somewhere sitting on his. I'm not kidding. I don't know. It's funny, but yeah, a little irony there.
Well, you know, we've got a great life. We've got a great country to have a great life. Let me see here. I've got, you know, I'm a guy that likes to save quotes and little stories and things like that. But Man in the Mirror.
Oh, boy.
Have you ever read that?
Yeah. Well, that was one of the greats, The Man in the Mirror. Yes.
I thought I had it right here in front of me, and I don't. I must have had it written down somewhere else. That's weird. But anyway, yeah, that's pretty good. That's the man we have to please. Or the person we have to please is the one we wake up and see in the mirror. And, I was going to read that.
And well, you know, while you're looking for it, you know, that's not a narcissistic statement by any means, you know, for those listeners, they're God-fearing individuals. You know, you still, you know, want to have a sanctified walk. But in order to do that, to some degree, you have to be kind of.
Yes, I remember that.
A bell curve. Right. You got to be somewhere in the middle. We talked about that before. If you're too far manic, you're going to be manic and disorganized or whatever. If you're too far negative, you're going to be in a catatonic, depressive stupor. And so if you're in the middle, you're able to function and make choices and execute. We do this with we do this in psychology about everything. Arousal levels. What is the best mental environment in which to learn a new task? When you're overstimulated, when you're understimulated? No, when you're in the middle. So a lot of this stuff really speaks to trying to be in the middle. Now, if you have a mental condition or some other such thing impinging on your life that interferes with your ability to be in the middle, then that needs to get addressed so that you can do that. I mean, back in my other field, as a licensed professional counselor, somebody's coming in, but they're so depressed, they may need to get on some medication for a while, particularly grief and loss, or somebody who's not eating, not sleeping, having some pretty severe psychiatric symptoms. Man, sometimes just gonna say, hey, wait a minute, let's get you maybe a little bit of medication or some other intervention so that you can benefit from counseling. Because if you're too far in the negative, you're not gonna benefit from seeing me.
That's interesting.
You're not. You know, I can tell, oh, you know, and you know, I could sit there and say, you know, I'm just that good. I'm just that good. I can talk them out of their depression. And there's people that are either A, are just that good, or B, just that delusional. But I'm somewhere in the middle. There we go. Anyway, I mean, but, you know, I mean, did I tell you this? I had an old guy sitting down right down here. You can't see because I'm gonna mess my camera in. He was wearing a German SS uniform on his first session.
Whoa.
Yeah. The psychiatrist texted me and said, yeah, I sent him over to your office for a consultation. I'm like, did you put him on me? Anyway.
Sounds like the movie, What About Bob? He kept passing him around. Well, I did. Speaking of that middle of the road, you know, I read something the other day about, according to native legend, when you can't sleep at night, it is because you are awake. So some things are just basic, you know. Anyway, I digress. It's like Winston Churchill said, where there's a will, I want to be in it.
Yep. Hey, I'll finish my story about that guy of the SS.
Oh, I want to hear. Oh, my gosh. I thought it was. Yeah, please. No,
wasn't finished. So, man, here's this guy, and he's obviously as paranoid as could be, and, you know, first session. And so I'm trying to build rapport with this guy, Wayne, but I happen to notice. Let's see, here, you see my fingers?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can do this guy right here, in this area here. Can you see that?
Yeah.
There were yellow stains. Yellow. Oh, yeah, baby. So you know what that means.
Non-filter cigarettes.
I said, let's go outside. Let's let you go outside and smoke a cigarette. He's like, really? I said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a back patio back there. We can sit down outside. You can smoke all you want. Oh, my God. Man, look, that guy just, the pressure in his tire, you know, went down to drive, you know.
No kidding.
God, oh, my. Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, and all good people that are paranoid, schizophrenia, they usually smoke 10 packs a day anyway, so he's probably just one step away from nicotine withdrawal. But anyway, yeah, isn't that something? Anyway, the guy, I talked to him, he came back 2 weeks later, he wore civilian clothes. We're making progress. So he got a job and got himself a girlfriend and rode off in the sunset. It took about 2 years.
Well, it's funny, Bruce, I commend you. You know, that in my business that I was raised in, what we would call that is knowing who you're talking to. Be aware, you know, be aware, because everybody's different.
Yeah.
to get the prospects on my show, you got to get a feel of people. Well, that's wild. Just that little thing to see those.
I learned that from working at the Austin State Hospital in Austin, Texas. I was a nurse's aide. I was a psychiatric nurse's aide in a mental hospital. And that's all I did was do groups and programmings, and then cap off the day by making sure these guys were showering and didn't have bed sores and fleas. And it's like One Who Flew the Cuckoo's Nest, Wayne. It was one step up. The year was 1985.
Oh, my.
Is that correct? Yes, sir.
It was. Did y'all have a Nurse Ratchet?
Yeah, we had the Orzine water with a ladle, and they just dip it out in your cough. One step above that, man.
Oh, man.
My job, I was 152 pounds, and when they would escape, they would send me out, and this other fella, he actually ran track. I ran more cross country, so if the sprinter couldn't get him, I could get him. And we had these big walkie-talkies that weighed about 6 pounds, you know.
Well, I remember those.
Yeah, I probably have hip cancer because of wearing that dang thing, but 20 watts and big old battery. No wonder I can't walk straight. Anyway. Yeah, we'd run them down, Wayne, right down Guadalupe. They'd try to make it to the campus, and we'd get them right there before they made campus, usually. But one time I got a guy in Antone's parking lot, and I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan on.
Who are you kidding?
Right there. He almost rendered assistance, and that was 1985. And Jimmy Vaughan still is his brother, but
yeah.
Just kind of show you the neighborhood we were in.
I didn't know you had a background of cross country. That's my daughter.
Man, it's very limited. Just trust me. Very, very limited. But it ran concurrent. I was doing martial arts at the time, actually, Wayne. I was working my way up the belt system in karate. I remember that now. And I was wondering why I was in such good shape.
Yeah.
Oh, dang, if I was 102 today, I might even fight, you know, at 6 feet. But getting some senior division somewhere.
There you go. Oh.
I'm not that, by the way, folks. I'm well over 200, so please.
I used to be 175 with three bottles of pop in me. So I,
really?
I was as skinny as a rail. I was wiry when I was a young boy. Wiry.
And you're 6'4", you 6'5"? Six, six,
no, 6'3", and I was less than that when I was younger. But when I got to, in 1989, I was 175 pounds. So, but when I was in high school, I was just a string bean.
Oh, yeah.
But I could do a lot of push-ups and sit-ups and pull-ups, and I just didn't like running. That's the only thing I just, unless I was running from something. Which was a time or two when I was a teenager, I ran pretty hard to get away from something. But I was a skinny little dude.
I did the running just because I could get it over with, get the calorie burn over with, and not too much of the weight stuff. Kind of like I did when I got in trouble. They said, they go, Mr. Cameron, do you want detention hall or do you want 3 SWATs? I said, just give me the SWATs.
I did the same. Give me the SWAT. But when I was, I know we're getting way off topic here. But when I was a senior in high school, I was a pretty good boy. I mean, I worked 2 and 3 jobs all the time because I came from pretty lower middle class, I would say, I guess. Very lower middle class. In other words, we were poor. But I was a pretty good guy. I didn't get in trouble. I passed, got a few tickets and stuff like that, but I didn't get in any trouble. But man, in high school, a senior, I got caught. It was like a senior skip day or something like that. Anyway, the principal, well, we used to get, you know, a paddle. And so I got caught. And man, I went, and we had a guy that he was not afraid of the paddle. He used it. I mean, he used it. And this guy knew me when I was 6 years old in a park program that he taught. So he knew me all my life, and man, I got caught. And I went to his office, and I said, "Well, I'm gonna get the SWATs." And man, he could do it too. This guy was a Marine. Lazinski. His name was Frank Lazinski.
Yeah, you never forget the name of the dudes that beat you good, man.
No, yep. But he told me, he said, Wayne, he said, get out of here.
Oh, man.
I didn't get to see the paddle.
Oh, wow.
Well, anyway, so, but we get some breaks. I had a policeman. I was going to pick up a paycheck from one gas station, and I had to go to work at another gas station. And I came up on a red light, and so I turned left into a liquor store, went around the liquor store and across the street to the gas station. And a policeman stopped me, pulled up right behind me, and he was going to give me a ticket for failure to avoiding a traffic signal. And I thought, what? And he was going to give me a speeding ticket, too.
Woo!
And I had a Volkswagen. And I told him, I said, man, I said, I don't ever get a break. I said, I don't ever get a break. All I do is work, and you guys, man, you're out here, and I just don't get a break. And this guy took my driver's license and threw him in the window at me. He said, this one's on Big Tony. Get out of here. Big Tony got arrested about 10 years later for doing some bad things.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but he gave me a break.
He gave you a break.
I was thankful. We have life is a great thing. It's all on how we handle things. You know, we have that choice. We don't have the choice on sometimes what happens to us. We have the choice on how we handle them. In other words, coming back to that goal, we can have it all lined out, written out. We can do all of our planning, our daily exercises to get it in the activity. And something comes out of the left or right, or something comes out around a corner we don't expect. And it changes things. That can happen. It just works. But how do we handle that is what's important. That's where a coach comes in, somebody to help us out.
Oh, there you go. That way out. But yeah, that's where Wayne comes in. That's where coaches come in and definitely help. And hey, a little update on the anger management person, you know, a week. Had that person reflect on the incident that happened. And, you know, just the fact that he had some time to cool off and do some reading from that book. Actually, let me go get it. Here we go. I think I commit every faux pas of podcasting.
Yeah, that's good.
Eaten or chewed food. Okay, so it's Anger Busting 101, and this is a book that, it's an oldie and a goodie, certainly a goodie by Newton Hightower, Anger Busting 101, and it's available today. Anywho, just getting away from the incident and being able to process it, and I would just say, hey, write like the camera sees, you know? Right, like the camera sees it. And so the ABCs, the A is the activating event, B is your beliefs, and C is the consequences of your beliefs. But with coaching and cognitive behavioral therapy, you go to the rational side. The activating event is the same, but the B is the new beliefs. The new beliefs or the altered beliefs. Because if you change those beliefs, then those consequences should be the opposite of the consequences you got the first time when you lost your crap, angry. So anyhow, definitely love to see, you know, I guarantee you that this or many of the, when they sit there with me and they talk to me, and I also had them write it out. He wrote out his stuff too, but certainly when you're talking to me about all this stuff, you're processing it, and it helps gather your thoughts.
Yes,
it really does. It really does. And this individual is out of state, so we don't, you know, we kind of look like this to each other, you know, so we're not face to face and stuff like that. Like back in our day, Wayne, when he'd sit here and arm wrestle here in the office and throw spitballs and stuff. But anyhow, So yeah, just I just love to see that integration. Good coaches ask good questions, man, especially about an incident like we talked about last week. That there's some pretty high stakes there when both parties are armed with pistols. But anywho, so yeah, man, it's good to be able to look at that through a coaching paradigm and not so much of a pathological therapist paradigm. We can address that issue cleanly, completely, and beyond that, and get that done in about 8 weeks.
Well, that's awesome.
Because that's what the company will pay for.
That's real good, then. Yep. Well, there you go. You have to know your crowd. I mean, that's what.
Oh, yeah. That's just like what they know what they want. That company knows. They know their paradigm. Like, and they actually, I got some feedback from the company on how to structure the invoicing, right? And so then the HR director says, more or less, he says, hey, look, why don't you do an initial assessment and charge X? And then for the other, 6 sessions or so, charge another modest rate and then have an exit session that looks like it was the larger of the two, you know, as the assessment. And that way, you know, so they kind of helped me structure it to make the most money.
That's great.
I would have never done that. I wouldn't have. I might just charge the flat rate, you know,
yep.
Flat hour, a clock hour times 8 or 9 or whatever. Call it a day. Like, no, man, here, you could do this and you can do that. And so that's really cool. You know, when you have a company that does that. Now, obviously, this is a company that is of resources, right? I mean, Bruce Cameron's bill is nothing but a grain of sand in the passage of a day for them. So they don't really, you know, they're paying attention, but they definitely want to do that. So anyhow, so that's
you got some coaching there.
Well, I got coaching there. I look, yeah.
See, coach got coached.
I got coached, and I'm glad. That's awesome. I had humility, stupidity, or whatever to you know, hey, well, how do you guys want to do this and whatever else? And they just kind of kept on, like, okay, well, sure, absolutely. And we hadn't even talked about cost yet, and they'd thrown out, you know, some numbers and stuff that they've done in the past. That's another, folks, if you're a corporate coach and you're working with corporation X, Y, or Z, they know what they pay.
Yep, they know
what they're going to do. You don't have to get in there and, you know, sit there like you're in a third world country with the ox cart and try to bargain and haggle or whatever. you're good. So they pretty much know. I mean, so, and sometimes you can, well, it just depends on A, the work, or B, the level of the employee. And I hate to say that. If you're busting and doing brain surgery kind of work, then that's going to garner the bigger wage, obviously, regardless the level of the staff member. If it's a C-suite level individual or in high management, that's going to get the heavy lifting, you know, also heavy lifting, right? Just because that person has to be on point and making decisions that affect hundreds, if not thousands, of people. That affect the company's income by hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars per annum. Okay. So, you know,
that's the responsibility that is heavy if you're a counselor the way you are. You know, that's a heavy.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm talking about just in the paradigm of coaching, Wayne. Yeah. No, just as a coach. And I'll tell you, and I've said,
you're responsible.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, anyway, coaching has gotten me in front of some really, really smartest, brightest, powerfulest folks.
Wow.
I was involved in a case that had something to do at the time with the Sprint T-Mobile merger back a few years ago.
Yeah.
And one of my clients was trying to orchestrate that, but it's very stressful. But okay. So anyway, at the end of the day, that is a good outcome for the client. But I went back to the company and said, could I just get like 5%?
Yep.
Come on, man. They're like, this hourly thing. Come on, man. Like, you guys made whatever, $22 million, you know, last. They're laughing like, no, that's why we want you to be a contractor.
Yeah. Well, that's rough. Well,
or the other speech is, and you're like, oh, you're too old to convert. I said, what is that? And basically, you can't be over the age of 62 in a lot of these places.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
See, that's.
I'm too old to convert. Wow.
Yeah. That's wild. See, that's, that's.
Good thing Christianity doesn't work that way, huh? I mean, too old to convert. Bad news.
I read something too. We always want to keep again, it's how we handle things. You know, it's like when you come out of that coaching and how you, that still blows me away. To me, I got coached today by you. When you said that guy came in as an SS officer, but and that broke through everything. You know, but that's how you pay attention to the crowd you're talking to and how you get in with them. You know, it's like you really don't need a parachute to skydive. You don't need one. You only need a parachute if you want to skydive twice.
I got another one for you, Wayne, if you want to get coached again.
Really?
Oh, okay. Doggone it. So I was working in this women's prison 6 years. Anyway, this woman was there for a psych screening. And she talked like that. I mean, just that jaw's just going. You see this back and forth? And I'm like, well, so how many years have you used methamphetamine? How'd you know? Oh my gosh, that was, you know.
Oh,
it had to be one or the other—a loose jaw or lots of meth. I went for the meth. I went for meth. How far off the freeway are you? Yeah. Anyway,
it's funny. I was talking to somebody just over the weekend, a friend of mine, and we were talking about meth, and you know, I commented. I said, you know, you ever see a picture of someone that before meth and after meth? I mean, they could be 20 years old, and then they'll look like they're 50 years old, and they're 22. I mean, it just can play havoc on everything.
Oh wait, so that same individual I talked to with the loose jaw, she comes to me a week later and shows me a picture of herself. It looked like this. Oh, look at me. Hey, Mr. Cameron, I was down to 101 pounds. It's a stick figure, y'all. Don't, for our viewers at home, it's a female stick figure.
Oh my goodness. Oh my
goodness. Let me give her some for you. Okay.
Oh, poor, that lady was sad thing.
Yeah, man. And that's a body dysmorphic in to the negative one. So anyhow,
well,
sorry about that.
I've been lucky on that kind of stuff. I didn't.
But it's that kind of thing that kind of it makes you grow up real quick when you're in front of 3,000 women for 6 years.
Oh, I don't know how I'd come out of there needing therapy. Oh man,
that's funny. I can, because it happened to me. It was something else. You know, I tell people that, oh man, you worked in this penitentiary, you worked out. Hey, I was 6 years in a women's pen. Oh my word. I mean, people just like drop all their pencils and like, oh man, you know, that must've been something else. I'm like, yeah, it was, you know? So now you learn a lot about yourself working in it like that. You learn a lot about yourself, no matter where you work, folks, the pressure, the institution, the environment, the demands. You're going to learn about yourself no matter what. When you're under pressure, That's when they're going to figure out who you really are. You know what I mean? What yep. you're really made of.
I'll tell you, that's when you learn, when you're under pressure. And it's how we handle that that helps us grow. There's a thing about a caterpillar. I'm not going to get it right, but if you helped, you see a butterfly and a caterpillar.
There you
go. Start to work his way out. And if you actually took that cocoon and opened it up and let that caterpillar out, the caterpillar dies. Or the butterfly dies.
There you go.
Because part of them, their survival is the effort that they use to get out of that cocoon.
That's right.
Give them strength. And that's pretty powerful when you think about that. You know, so you have to go through those that hardship and that stress.
Are you saying
they're fighting? So
hopefully you're not talking about my parenting style. Okay, just kidding.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. That's funny. Oh boy.
Another Monday. Yeah.
There's so many things, you know, and that's what I guess I recommend to people a lot of times, that you've got to continually educate yourself, you know, because we live in such a negative society. I mean, there's no, you turn on the news and you know, first of all, if you turn it on in the morning, they say, good morning. And then they'll spend the rest of the hour telling you how bad everything is. Well, I mean, good morning. So it's just a negative effect. So you have to, my dad used to put it in a simple way, and he was a Marine, fought in World War II and Guadalcanal, Saipan, and Guam. So he saw some pretty nasty stuff. But he said, sometimes you got to laugh to keep from crying. You know, you think about that. That's why, I think maybe that's why I have so many, people call them Wayne-isms. You know, because I look for that kind of stuff. And because you have to laugh. You know, you can't let your bad days trick you into thinking that you have a bad life. You know, we've got a good life. It's up to us.
But part of that human condition is the inability sometimes to satiate, to feel like, is, you know, and we want to strive for more. But like I say, you know, you got a good life and you think, man, you know, if I could just have two or three days in Wayne's shoes, driving those vehicles and living in that zip code of his and whatnot. Just kidding. But, you know, but you're like, hey, I have it. And what's next? You know, what's next for me? What do I want now? You know, do I want to go up? Do I want to downsize? Do I want to upsize? Whatever. So it's just, you just.
Well, Bruce, I'm going to just one real quick thing. And I'm sorry to.
Okay, man.
I got asked to be in charge the week of November 9th. We have three calls a week in our company. They're called ICE call. They're it's an acronym. Educate, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And they're fun. And they're only 20 minutes apiece. So I got asked to head it up for that week, Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. And usually we have a brand new person that telling their testimony, or we have a really big person, you know, that's really, really successful. I'm going to dig back in the archives, and I'm getting people who've been around for 30 years, 50 years, and I'm going to have, and they're not the big guys.
Right.
But, you know, success means different things to different people. I got this one guy I'm talking to that I've known him since we were kids together in the business. And he and his wife both graduated from college. He's been with this company all of his life, been with Salamaster all of his life. He's put his kids through college, and that's success in his mind. And that's good. So that's if
absolutely.
Yeah. He doesn't drive fancy cars and have fancy houses, but he's had a good life. And to me, that's success in his definition. So he's just as successful to me as the guy that has the millions of dollars and a big house and fancy cars. They're just the same level. They're the same success in their mind. They're both happy, because success is kind of being happy, you know, not situation. With what you want, but with what you have. So that's right. Anyway.
Be in your present station of life.
That's right. Yep.
So no, I think that's a good contrast, because all too often, you know, we're chasing, or other people are chasing wealth and yep. things and possessions. And
I think we all go through that, or most of us do. There's a time to chase it.
I would say that I would default back on something you said earlier today, is about having the options. And I think when you have, when you do have sometimes means, it gives you more options. You're not having to, work because of other obligations or have that lording over you. You know, you have some options there. So I do like I wouldn't say I have complete freedom, but I do like, I have more freedom than, let's say, I did 10 years ago.
Yes.
For sure.
That's nice.
Yeah, for sure. I sleep 8+ hours a day now. I never did that. Working the system.
Yep.
Nope. No.
I didn't either. So
I got my tail up bright early with the chickens. I mean, 4:35. Got on that road by 6:05. Otherwise, I wouldn't make it in because of the great traffic here. So yeah, I did that for a long time. And but I'm glad I paid my dues, because
that's
now
what it's called. We pay our dues.
Now I can appreciate what I do have, because I remember what I had.
See, that's the important thing. That's the blessing.
Yeah,
that's the real blessing. Now we can give. Now we give back. I'm trying to. Andrew and I are getting a house here pretty soon. Well, he is. I'm just helping.
Congratulations.
I kind of figured that I'd rather do something while I'm on this side of the dirt than I'm on the other side of the dirt. That's what we do. I'd rather see somebody enjoy it that I can help them than they're out there using my stuff after I'm gone.
There you go. So start that process now.
Start it now. But that's the blessing that you can have. Of so-called paying our dues, we're comfortable. I'm not rich, but I'm comfortable.
We know that house is going to be on MTV Cribs.
Yeah, it'll be on Cribs. Yeah,
we know. Y'all don't. Wayne's just slow walking right now. It's going to be on MTV Cribs. He'll be wearing a fur.
It's just kind of like, money can't buy happiness. But it sure makes misery a lot easier to live with.
Yeah, boy.
That's a quote by Winston Churchill, too.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, he just loved those kinds of, how do you say them?
P.T. Barnum-esque,
paraprosdokian or some bull crap like that. Figures of speech in which the latter part of a sentence, it comes unexpected.
Yes.
Throw the kids down the stairs. Some toys.
Woo, man, oh man. Yeah. Don't, folks, no Child Protective Service calls for that. It was a
throw the horse over the fence. Yeah. Some hay.
No PETA calls. Okay, that was just
an if answer. I agreed with you, we'd both be wrong. That was another thing he said. No, he had some good ones, boy. We can learn from this stuff, and we don't have to make things up. It's already, all the words usually have already been said. We just go back and copy.
A lot of the art's already been done, but it's just variations of that thing. But that is another day. All right, there it is.
Okay.
45 seconds left. Another great show here on the Concierge Coaches Show. You can see us on Facebook, Concierge Show, Concierge Coaches. On Instagram, I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Wayne, how can people reach you?
Wayne_515@yahoo.com.
All right, then. Also, come by Apple Podcasts. See, at least here, our prior shows on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Of course, they're archived on the LA Talk Radio site as well and some other areas. So until next week, have a blessed week and a safe week, And we'll see you here again on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.